Blog Talk Radio.
It's your season to be blessed. You know, you made your promise. You shut up, cat. He's gonna open a window and pour a lot of blessing. It's your season. He's just saying the best. And you say, when the heaven, for you are a blessing. He's just saying, oh my God. God bless you. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the hill. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. You gotta open the window and pour you out a blessing. It's your season. We are so blessed. It's your season.
Thank you.
Sometimes it looks like the harder you try, the harder things get for you. And the same one you go all out of your way to try and help, you find out that's the one on the other side of town right now, already putting your name out on the highway and out on the head. But you know, when you already know somebody don't like you, it just don't bother you so bad when they do something mean to you. But the one that stand up in your face, one that shake your hand with one hand, smile in your face and stab you in the back all at the same time. I don't know how it makes you feel, but sometimes it makes me feel like I want to just throw up my hands. Because I don't know which way to go. Then I go home, sit down, put my face in my hand, and then my mind goes back. So how long? He's already kept me. How far? He's already brought me. How good? He's already been to me. And that's when I just get up on my feet, raise my hand and tell him, Lord, I can't. Lord, I can't. Give him now. Sometimes I don't have no money, but I can't. Give them now. Sometimes my shoes get beaten, but I can't. Give them now. Sometimes my old loved one don't understand it, but I can't. Give them now. Sometimes my old children, they feel roll down my face, but I can't. Can't give up now. So I still wait. Throw up my hand. And I tell her, I can't give up. I can't give up now. I come to the truth, Father. It's time to turn around now.
Through the pressures of life, through the pressures of life, she's the way you die. You don't know. which way to turn. God is concerned, and he's working it out for you. The child in his own cooking. The way he can change. That marriage. That's on the verge of breaking up. Although sometimes you have to walk alone. Now you ask yourself, is there a word for the Lord? Oh, for the Lord. You need a blessing, yeah. And you need it right away. God is so good, and he's working it out for you. Yeah.
Jesus, Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. It's my season to be healed.
Thank you. Friends and neighbors and radio man, we are indeed happy to come in your homes, to ride in your cars, your place of business, or wherever you may be at this very present moment. We are convinced that we cannot allow evil speaking matters and anything that will separate man from God keep us from knowing, because we know. And we want you to know that God is still on the throne. Not only that, but we want you also to know that God is moving. And this is the day of God's moving. When others have given up and became weary and discouraged on account of certain conditions. And then there are multitudes of people in the valley of decision. We have fears without fears that when we would do good, evil is always present. In the midst of sickness and in the midst of disease, in the midst of stress, and in the midst of stress, in the midst of the overpowering of drugs and alcohol and even violence, the fact remains the same. And that fact is the fact that God is still moving. He's moving in me, and I hope and I trust by now he is moving in you. I've been stirred on the inside that God is taking us through a process wherein we come to know him, our God, in a way we have never knew him before, wherein we come to understand him in a way we have never understood him before. For if we could climb into the mind of a psychotic being for the will of God for our lives, then we would no longer desire to kick against the bricks, but we will find ourselves in total submission to the will of God without fear. When we begin to talk about total submission to the will of God, the first reaction most folks have is a fearful one. That is because we see him as a powerful God. And if we're not acquainted with his character, then we will have difficulty in submitting to his will or releasing ourselves into his purpose. Today, I was sitting and I was thinking, as I told some on the Men We Must Strike prayer line on Thursday, that today's thought was God's about to settle some debts. That thing that you've been praying about and saying, God, when? Well, God, I come to, all the way to Blog Talk on my way to heaven to tell you that God is about to settle some debts. Let me, from the very beginning of this message, tell you that it doesn't matter what kind of dust that the devil may be throwing at you. It doesn't matter on the reason why is it doesn't matter, because sooner or later God will settle the dust. It doesn't matter how dim or how bleak your life may seem, because of the dust. I stopped by Blog Talk on my way to heaven to tell you that God will settle the dust. It don't matter how the devil is throwing dust in your domestic situation. It doesn't matter how the devil is throwing dust in your marriage situation. It doesn't matter how the devil is throwing dust in your family situation. It doesn't matter how the devil is causing your children to be hard-headed and misbehaving and disobedient to you. It doesn't matter if the devil is throwing dust in your financial situation. Maybe your bills are that the You no matter that your bills is that, and you don't have the means to cover them, and some might not even have the means, nor do you have the means to cover the ends. I come to tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, that that God will settle the dust. I think God deserves a hand clap right there, for you see, all it takes to settle the dust in your life is a little rain. For God to open up the heavens and pour down rain. And somebody missed that, so I think I'm going to say that again. All it takes to settle the dust is a little rain, for God is about to open up heaven and pour down rain. Oh, my, to the my. There are many characters in today's message that impact in this particular message that starts back, if you will, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when we find that David commits his second sin, and the second sin that David commits is the numbering of the people. Now, God did not want David to get caught up in numbers, but he wanted him to depend on God. We spend time giving people credit, if we spend time when we get the victory over the fight, the thing, people will get the credit. People would expect the credit, but God wants us to give him praise and him alone the credit, because if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, tell me, where would I be? Aware of what I be seeing, God did something for me that people couldn't do. And people can't save you. Only one that can save you and wash away your sins and take your black soul and dip it in red blood and you come out white as snow is nobody but Jesus. Oh, you don't hear me. And see, in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, we see that it is a time when kings go to war. But David decides to send Joab. And now, so now go away with his army, David. Instead of going away with his army, David is in the house. And suddenly he looks out the window and he sees another character by the name of Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was taking a bath on the rooftop. Now, Bathsheba was a beautiful woman, and David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. One thing that we have to realize is that particular sin that Bathsheba and David committed was not nearly as bad as the cover-up. Can I get a witness? Here is how David tried to cover his adulterous affair. He sees Bathsheba had a husband, and her husband was on the battlefield. So David tries to give Bathsheba's husband a furlough so that he can come home and be with his wife. You see, his wife is now pregnant. And to cover it up, he tried to get Bathsheba's husband to come home and be with his wife. But being the true soldier that Bathsheba's husband was, he refused to come home. And I write about it. Since Bathsheba's husband would not come home, David decided to put him on the front line of the battlefield and then have everyone back off from him. And the men, and this meant sudden death. Oh, my, I feel my help coming now. We are brothers and sisters, and we must understand that no matter how we may hide our dirty deeds from man, there is still an all-seeing God, and he is looking and booking. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. And David, thinking he had suggested fully, had got away with the cover-up. With the murder of Nehemiah. But God knows everything we do, everything we say, and he raised up a prophet, if you will, named Nathan, who come with a parable. Now, a parable is a story that reveals the truth. Am I right about it? And so Nathan begins to tell the parable. What parable was done was rich man, and he had a little fair lamb, and the man with the name, and he laid with, and he laid the little fair lamb, he laid in his bosom. And then Nathan asks the question, what should we do with such a man? And David said, you should kill it. That's what David said, not knowing that Nathan was talking about him. Now, ain't it funny how you are so quick to throw judgment when we think it's not about us, but when the shoe is on the other foot, when the shoe is on the other foot, but David begins to cry and he repented, but sometimes it don't matter how much we repent. Sometimes there has to be a penalty for our deeds. David thinking that he could just get away with by just repenting. Nathan said, look how God has blessed you, and he put you in the month in the house of your master Saul. Can I get a witness? And he, and because you have killed this little lamb with the sword of the Hittite, there is also to be a sword put in your house. And by that place, the sword in David's house, things begin to happen. First of all, the son that David had by the adulterous affair he had with Bathsheba had made out of the adulterous affair, God can be an exact judge, and he can turn around and yet show so much mercy. So even though God took a child that David and Bathsheba had in the adulterous affair, the same God turns around and allows David and by bear another son by Bathsheba to get married, and they have another son by the name of Solomon, and this son was the ancestry, if you will, of Jesus. I'm on the line. Don't hang up. But see, the judgment might have been left on one side, but on the other side, you have to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be, or where would you be? Oh, let me hurry on now. And then David has another son, and his name was Absalom. And Absalom had a half-brother named Amnon, who was in love with his sister Tamara, and she was a beautiful woman, and he was so in love that he became ill. Am I right about it? Amnon was so in love with Tamara that he raped her. And Absalom waited for David to do something about it. And since David took too long, Absalom took matters into his own hands and had Amnon killed. And after Absalom had his half-brother killed, Absalom went into exile for about 3 years. Am I in the Bible yet? And then Absalom returned. He wanted his father David's throne, which reminds me of another story recorded in Luke 15, where there was a certain man who had three sons, and the youngest son said, "Give me my portion that falleth to me." And in other words, since you won't go away, go ahead and die, give me my portion now. Am I in the Bible yet? And now we find ourselves at chapter 14. Absalom had a grudge against his father David, and so Absalom decides to capitalize on his so-called good looks, if you will. Now we're at verse 25 of chapter 14. See, even though Absalom was handsome and beautiful, he was polluted with unnatural disaffection from his father. You know him. So now we're at chapter 15. And in chapter 15, we find that Absalom is outside of the gate. Now, when you are outside of the gate, that meant that you were an officer. And the officer stood outside of the gate. when the hearts of the people, and Absalom won the hearts of the people, and he becomes king. This is somewhat disturbing, because first of all, Nathan said that the sword will never leave the house. So in the house of David, he loses a baby and then has an adulterous affair with Bathsheba, and then David's other son becomes a rapist, and his other son kills him, and now he is king. And now we find ourselves at chapter 16, where David is being from Absalom, the people are throwing rocks and cursing and kicking up dust at David. Are you listening to me? And now, even though the lion may roar, he cannot bite you. Because why? Why? Because he has no teeth. Children, or no teeth, for even the lion may roar. He cannot devour you. And the reason why he cannot devour you and cannot bite you is because he has no teeth. Now, the devil, that's right, I said, the devil may be like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He cannot bite you because why? He has no teeth. And now, if I may put this in my own words, if you will, you don't have to worry about the old lion. You have to worry about the young lion. Yet, I'm still talking about God is about to settle some debt. I hope you have enjoyed God will settle death pretty much for me. We'd like to remind you that on Monday nights we have the Reverend Dr. Jesse Stewart at 8 o'clock, followed by Minister Leo Killen at 9 o'clock. On Wednesday night, we hear from the nation's capital in the form of Elder Willie J. Van, and that's at 8:30 until 9:30. And then on Thursday night we have Bishop George Flint, and that is at 8 o'clock. And then right back here on Saturday, you have yours truly, Minister Amos Joseph Collins. This is Minister Amos Joseph Collins saying, touch the word, for the word is falling on Blog Talk.
I'm still alive.
Thank the Lord.
Y'all still sitting there like God ain't never done nothing for you. Some of y'all sitting there like God ain't never done nothing for you. Yeah. You got your blessings all by yourself. Some of y'all got blessings when you didn't even deserve being blessed. But God bless you anyway. Oh!
Listen, Blake.
Come on, put your hands together. Whoa!
Let me see my hands. I know you've been blessed. Come on. I like to take this time out to thank God for the many blessings He's given me. Bring this right up a little bit. And when I look back over my life and see where He brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me say this. Woke up this morning, got out of my bed. I looked around. Here's what I said. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put it up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings that sent my way. Could have been dead in some lonesome grave. You told, oh, yeah, told it to get back and behave. I just want to thank God. Thank God. Another blessing.
one more day. Thank you, Lord. You made a way. I thank you, Lord. You've been good. And always do everything you should. But you kept on blessing all around us. Thank you. Thank you. Again, again. Let us hear the hand that they have been blessed up again. Come on, get them up. Get them up in there. Do it like this. Come on. Now, why are you doing this? Reach over, tap your hand on the shoulder, and tell them I've been blessed. Tell them I've been blessed. I've been better than blessed. Now, I give y'all the praises.